with a sense of trepidation to speak about this tzaddik of Chaim Tzanzer, the Devi Chaim, Seichat Tzaddik B'Kodesh Avrocha. And this is definitely not a one and out, probably not even two, three, four, five to speak about the Devi Chaim. We have so many stories about the Tzanzer of Amish, books and books. So much of his life has been recorded, and such great sons which he had, grandchildren, till today, great chassiduses which come from Tzanz. Although he lived after the Dor HaDei of the Baal Shem Tov, and the Magid, and the Chayza from Lublin, and those great tzaddikim, and the Melech, a generation or two after, nevertheless, the Tzanz Rav is considered to be in such high esteem, like from the Kadmonim. Tzaddikim said about him that he had the neshama of Rabbi Akiva. And his son, the Shin of Rav, who we spoke about going back last year, in his Hakdama to one of the Svarim of the Devar Chaim, he writes that the Tzanz Rav, my father, the Heilig Tzaddik, he was not the greatest Talmud Chacham of the generation, and he was not the biggest Baal Avodah, nor the biggest Baal Gemilas Chassadim. But there was nobody in the generation who was as great in all three things combined. And the Tzaddikim said about the Tzanz Rav that he was Oisik in Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chassadim 24/7. He's among those tzaddikim that they didn't go to sleep at night if they still had a pruta in his pocket. A type of chesed, avoida, and Torah around the clock for the Tzanz Rav. You didn't see by anybody. We spoke about a couple of his sons already. We spoke about the Golovitz Rav, his oldest son, and the Shin of Rav. So I pushed off for a long time speaking about the Tzanz Rav because there's a special pachad when it comes to the Tzanz Rav. But any mukhin mezuman. So the birth of the Tzanz Rav is actually very interesting. His father, Reb Leibish, was also a big tzaddik. He was a chassid of Reb Moshe from Shavorsk, who we spoke about, the Orpnei Moshe. And he once came to visit him, and he saw that he was in a very deep daiga. He was very worried about something. So Reb Leibish said, and he was a well-to-do person, "What's bothering you, Rebbe?" He said, "I have three daughters I need to marry. And I don't have a single pruta to take care of the cost of the weddings." So Reb Leibish said, "So how much will it cost?" So he said, "The wedding will cost such and such for one of the daughters." So he took out three times the amount and put it on the table. So the Orpnei Moshe was very nislahiv and nisragish from that. And he saw it was an Eis Ratzon, so he said to him, "I'll give you a bracha, whatever you want." So he said, in his humility, he said, "Well, what do I need, Rebbe?" He says, "Baruch Hashem, I have parnasa, I have a family, I learned Torah, I have Yishev Adas, I have nothing to ask from you." Taken aback by that. So he says, "If that's the case, I bless you that you'll be zeichet to a ben kaddish v'tahar, Hashem malachim musrafim yiradu mipanav, that even the malachim will tremble before him." And that was the Tzanz Rav. So he earned the Tzanz Rav. The Tzanz Rav was a Talmud of the Rav Shitzer. And he was by other tzaddikim as well, the Zidat Chayver. And he had a special kibud for the Rav Shitzer Rav, that he would refer to the Rav Shitzer Rav as the Rav, the Heilige Rav. And although he spent many years by the Rav Shitzer, he refused to call himself a Talmud. And he would say, in order to call yourself a Talmud of a Rebbe, you have to have a Hasaga in the Rebbe. Well, the Rav Shitzer Rebbe, I had no Hasaga in him, so he didn't call himself a Talmud. He would call him the Heiliger Rav. But if anybody would come, for example, the Barnava Rav once came to the Rav Shitzer, to the Divrei Chaim. And the Divrei Chaim, like he didn't even notice him. It was in the morning, maybe like 8:30, 9 o'clock, and he didn't even notice the Barna. Lamish didn't notice him. Later on in the day, the Barna Rav came back, and as he said Shalom Aleichem, he says, "Who are you?" He says, "I'm a grandson of Lazer Jikover." So he stood up Malaykama right away, the Tzan's Rav, and he was very embarrassed, the Barna Rav, that the Tzan's Rav was standing up for him. He says, "I'm not standing up for you. I'm standing up for your great grandfather, the Rav Shitzarav." He says, "If his blood is in you, then I stand up." Malay Kaima got up right in front, and he says, "If you're wondering why I didn't stand up for you," he knew who he was, Baruch Kodesh, anyways. He says, "If you're wondering why I didn't stand up for you the first time you came, because I was in the middle of preparing davening." He would prepare the kavanas of all the kavanas of the Arizal before davening. So you didn't even if you came at a certain time, even though he davened much later, you didn't know where he was holding in anything. It was the type of tzaddik that he was already preparing the kavanah, so he says, "I couldn't stand, I was in the middle of davening." That's what he called it. Preparing the kavanah was by him in the middle of davening. So the Divrei Chaim had a bad leg. His whole life he had a bad leg. And we'll talk about that leg in a little bit. Now, maybe again later. So He made a beginning out of it. He was Yisurin, he was Makabal Yisurin with that leg, and he had a whole Avodah with that leg. So his Rabbitzin, who was a very special woman, so she couldn't handle it anymore, because he would did achzarius on his leg. He would bleed all the time, and especially during davening, he would stamp on that foot a lot with like a intensity. And when he would do that, it was gushing everywhere, and it was terrible. So she came. She said, "I can't take this anymore." She went to the Rav Shitzarav. She pleaded that he should knock some sense into her husband and tell him to stop, you know, bruising his leg. So the Rav said, "Oh, I didn't know. I'll speak to him about it." So the Rav speaks to Divrei Chaim and says, "You have to take care of your leg, your Rebbetzin, and you have to make sure you're okay." "Okay, of course, of course." So the next day, he comes to davening, he's stamping on the leg. So she's all upset. She comes running to the Rav and he says, I'm take care of it." So the Rav goes to the Divrei Chaim and says, "Didn't you tell me yesterday you wouldn't stamp on your leg?" So he says, "What do you think that I'm a malach, that I know what leg I'm stamping with during the davening?" Hear the irony of that story? You think I'm a malach, that I know what leg I'm stamping with when I'm davening? By him, Tikkun Chatzos was a very big avodah. Very big avodah. He used to say, he gave a mashal, we're not going to do the mashal now, but he said that the three nekudas of chassidus are, one, is to get together, besudas mireyim, and to drink, and to have mashke zebzeh, the febrang. Two, is to speak lashon hara about those who learn Torah shalol lishma. And three, is to wake up at chatzayis and to cry in the galus hashchina. And to be oyev Yisrael, and velasis avodis Yisrael hatfilas. To daven to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And he once remarked, and he said about somebody, he says, "The first two you knew how to do, but the third one you don't have any shaykhs." So by him, that avodah was very big. And once, one of the grandsons of the Rav Shitzer, it doesn't say who, he'd hid himself in the room because he wanted to see the avodah of the Divrei Chaim. By Tikkun Chatzos, by him, first of all, let's just say this. The Barna Verov, also, this is like a prelude to that story. There's a lot of hiding going on here. He was also a great grandson of the, you mentioned him before, of the Rav Shitzer. And he said he was going to hide to see the avodah of the mikveh by the Divrei Chaim. He'd go to the mikveh every night at Chatzos, and then he would come back, and then he would do Tikkun Chatzos. So he hid himself in the mikveh room, and he said that the shamash came down with a light, put it down. Remember, there's no electricity. He left, and the Divrei Chaim started his avodah of Tikkun Chatzos. He was hiding underneath a bench somewhere, the Barna Verov. So he said that here's the leg again. His leg was bandaged up. He would rip off of his bandages from his leg with an achzarius, like rip it off, and it would gushing blood everywhere. It was part of his yisurin that he would put on himself. And then he says that he went into the mikveh with his yarmulke on, and he was still hiding the Barna Verov. And he said, all of a sudden, the Tzan's Rav starts to scream, "Hinyini mekabel olai arba mitzvos beis din, mekabel upon myself arba mitzvos beis din." And then he said that he was shaken up that he even said such a thing. And then he started to scream out, Skila! Really loud. Skila, Skila! And he would dunk himself in the water, and he would get up and he would say, Skila for the Ribbono Shel Olam, Skila Ein Sof for the Ein Sof Baruch Hu. And he would do that and yelling and screaming, going up and down on the mikvah. And he said the bottom of it was like lost his breath. He couldn't believe it. And he said that after that he thought everything was okay. And then he went, Sreifa! And then he started to do Sreifa and up and down, and I was screaming, screaming. And then he got to Chenek, and he would grab his neck, and he would say, Chenek, and he would put himself under the fire. This went on for a very long time. The Barnav says, I wanted to scream. I thought I was going to die. Just from hearing him talk like that, I thought it was mamash kleis nefesh, but I said, better that I die than to be mafsik as avoda. That's what he said. But he said that after that, he says he never in his life, he was, whenever he would hear the sons of Rav, and he had such a pachad from that maisa, just to see how he did his whole avoda. You have no asagas of tzaddikim like that. Every single night, mikveh, like that, tikkun chatzos. He would come back for tikkun chatzos, and people would gather around the house, and he would shry b'chiyas meras, mamish, he would cry such tears every single night, every night, like that. So once, one of the grandsons of the Rav Shetzer, he hid in the room to see how he feared this avoda of tikkun chatzos. So all of a sudden he heard that there were people who were coming to the room. And he looked around the room, there were no doors open, there was nothing open. But people were coming. And all the Tzaddik Rav says, okay, so Nu, what do you want? As if like, you know, he saw like an image of people, but he says these weren't people. So the Tzaddik says, so what can I do for you? And the Neshamas, which were coming to him, they didn't speak. So the Tzaddik Rav turns to the next one and says, what can I do for you? He says, it doesn't say anything. So Tzanzav says, what's with you? He says, you know, say something. So all the neshamas, one of the neshamas says, they're listening. That's what I said. They're listening. I mean, that there are mortals in the room. So the Tzanzav understood what that means. So he started to look around the room. And he said, Mamsha Pachad, that the Tzanzav was going to find him. So the Tzanzav opened the place where he was hiding, and he looked at him. And he says, you Galagan. That's what he used to refer to people he was upset at. He would call them Galagan. So I don't know exactly what that means. He says, you Galagan. He says, if not for the fact that you were the Rav Shetzerav, I would turn you into like a, you know, what I would make out of you. So he ran out of the room very quickly. So the next morning, he saw the father of this grandson, of the Rav Shetzer, and he said to me, he says, please tell your son, stop being mevatel me from my sleep. He says, I couldn't sleep last night. So he says, stop, you know, he didn't want to say what he was doing. He says, please tell him to stop being mevatel my shluchim, that I shouldn't bother. Didn't say what was going on behind closed doors. So once the Galer Tzurav, who was his son, he heard some commotion one night by his father. So he opened up a door, a window, and he saw that the Tzantzurav was taking like some type of a kvittel out of the window. And he said, this is not normal that he would take fiddles out of the window. That's what the Galatzer was the gabbai. So he had to come to the Galatzerav to get to the Tzanzerav. So he's taking kvittel. And he understood that it was neshamas who were coming through the window to give kvittel to the divichan. So he saw that the divichan took the kvittel, and he put it underneath his sefer. And this was like, you know, whatever, 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock, then he would do this avoda. By the way, the doors to the Devichan's house and his study were always open. You can walk in whenever you want to do. But there was such a pachat to come in, people hardly ever, mamish never came in. So, he was afraid to go into the Devichan. So, he decided that he wanted to see what do neshamas write in their kvitlach. So he said that in the morning, the Devichan was about to get up, you know, to go daven. So, and he was very excited to go grab the paper. So he says, but before he walked away, he came back, then he took the paper and he burnt it. And so he just got rid of it. So the girl was disappointed, he couldn't see. But, you know, the Rechaim chap, that he didn't want anybody to see it, so he burnt it and lost his opportunity to see. He said the people used to come to him and for tzedakas, mamash, it was 24/7 by him. The tzedakas that were given out in Sanz were incredible. The amount of tzedakah which was given out, but he himself was mamash very poor. So he gave everything away. So when aniyim would come, and they would, he would write them a ksav, like, you know, like today, the hamlatza, you know, certification. So he would write with like a big guzma. Like he would say, they would say that we need like $100. He would give right on the thing. Then this, he needs like $1,000. So it would always be much, much more than they needed. And so when the aniyim would come to these to the towns, and the Devi Chaim was the gadol ador, and they would see it, and the aniyim would come, and he would say, you know, I need $1,000. So they would be upset. They would send messengers to the tzaddik and say, stop exaggerating. We can't even fulfill, you know, the even little bit. And you're writing much, much, much more. So the tzaddik says, no, I can't do that. He says, why? He says, because if he comes and asks for $100, then he feels like a nebuch. But if he comes with $1,000, then he feels like he doesn't walk away until he gets his $1,000. So he feels much better about himself. He feels like he's not that he's coming as a nebuch. He's coming because he's coming to collect $1,000. The Devi Chaim says so. So in order to build the esteem of the ani, he says, I can't be moicha on the esteem of the ani. Wow. So I have to write such. I can't take away the gizmah. So that's how much he was thinking about it. Even on Erev Pesach, after he gave it all the tzedakas and in sons, every ani, every last ani was taken care of before Pesach. Yet, even Erev Pesach, he asked for more money and he sent it all over. So he says, why? They asked him, why? You took care of everybody. He said, because I know now that they're going to the Seder, they're thinking to themselves, now that I have food for Pesach, what am I going to have for after Pesach? That's what they're thinking now at the Seder. So I don't want them to be thinking about what are they going to have after Pesach at the Seder. So I'm sending them now what they're going to have after Pesach. That's how much he was thinking about the Aniyim and Noisiv Ol Chaver. Once in Sanz, there's so many stories, it's very hard to choose. And there was once in Sanz, when he would cut the challah, it was always very difficult, and it was like an avodah by him. He would cut and it would cut, and it would take some time. So there was one yid who says, enough of this cutting long business. So he says, he went ahead, and during the week, the house of the Tzivik Chaim was always open. He went and he took the knife and he sharpened the knife. You know, pi halacha, the knife should be sharpened. Next Friday night, Devi Chaim comes, sits by the tish, takes his knife, and starts to cut the challah, and it goes right in. And everybody is very, doesn't know what to make of that. Everybody's, so the Devi Chaim looking around and goes, who touched my knife? Who touched my knife? So this yid, mamash had chills going through his body, thought, what's going to be with him? Mamash pacha, nobody wanted to say, this he didn't want to say. But the tzaddik have said, if anybody who doesn't come and tell me who touched my knife, it's going to be a consequence, that's what he said. So he had no choice, so he comes running over to the Devi Chaim. His mama shapacha, I have a pacha just saying it. He comes running over to the Tzanzer Rav, and he says, because you had such an azus to touch my knife, and there was a pause, I give you a bracha, you should be zeichet tarichas yom rishon. That's what he said. And his mama lived a very long life. That was the kpeid of the Tzanzer Rav.
Everybody
the Satmarovs told over the story that in their times there was a shmua that the experts, the scientists, whatever the NASA guys were saying, that there was a meteor which was heading towards the Earth and it was going to make a big explosion, big chaos. So word got to the Blazer Jikover, and he asked the Tzanzarov what he thinks about this. So the Tzanzer Rav told him, sent it back. He says, first of all, they're making a mistake. Yes, there's a meteor, but it's not going to hit the world. It's going to miss it. He says, and secondly, it says in Pasuk, Ki lo yase Hashem elokim davar kim gidu soid al avadav hanaviyim. Hashem doesn't do anything until he tells his tzaddikim what's going to happen. They haven't told me anything about it from Shemayim, so it's certainly not going to happen. That's what he said. If I don't know about it, it's not going to happen. Once, the Tzanzer Rav, he was standing by a train station, and there was a young girl who was crying. And he said to her, so what is it that you're crying about, young girl? So she said, I lost my ticket, and I have no way to get home. He says, don't worry, I'll buy you a ticket. He goes, he buys her a ticket. And he says to her, and he sends the ticket to a shliach, and he says, tell her that Rabbiner Halberstam is the one responsible for this ticket. Many, many years later, there was a yid who who was from Lomburg, and he came to the Tzanzarov because he needed to get out of the... He was drafted into the army. And the Tzanzarov said to him, don't worry, everything's going to be fine. He says, when you go to the Beis HaMishpat, to the judge, he says, tell him that the Tzanzarov, that Rabbeinu Halberstam says that you don't have to go to the army. So he goes. He doesn't know what to make of that. The Rebbe says. He comes in front of the judge and he says, Rabbeinu Halberstam says I don't have to go to the army. All of a sudden, the wife of the judge starts to scream. He says, Rabbeinu Halberstam! He says, Rabbeinu Halberstam? Rabbeinu Halberstam, 30 years ago, gave me a ticket to get home. And then you don't have to go to the army. Mamash the Ruach HaKodesh, what that means? That means that he saw Ruach HaKodesh, that this girl, 30 years later, would be the wife of the Tsar, and he already was orchestrating this Yid to get to... That was the Tzanzar. Once on Purim, it's already 21 minutes, and I have so many more stories to share, but we're going to go only 3 more minutes. It's also 11:15, Yossi. I mean, for the sounds of it, it's early, but for us, it's late.
How many has occurred? Tomorrow Sunday.
Once on Purim, a Yid came and he said he was drafted. This is mamish, very common by tzaddikim. They worked very hard to free Yidden from the draft. So he said that he needed 800 golden in order to pay off going to the army. So the Tzanzarov, it was Purim, and you know there's an Indian to eat kreplach on Purim. So they brought him a bowl of kreplach, and his minog was that he had 10 kreplach on Purim. So he had 2 of the kreplach, and for the remaining 8, he says, I'm selling a kreple for 100 golden. 100 golden, that's what he... Nobody knew what was going on, but this Yid said he needed 800 golden. So he said, I'm selling the next 8 kreplach for 100 golden per kreplach. Why? Because kreple is gematria 100... 800... He says, gematria parnasa. Kreple is gematria parnasa. That's why. So all of a sudden, all the Ashirim were ready to get a kreple everybody started to put down money, but there was one smart chassid. His name was Rav Kalman Kahana from Siget. So it says his name here. He was a big Talmud Chacham, and he says, "I did the gematria, Rebbe." He says, "Kreple is not gematria parnasa." So he said, "You're right." He says, "It's 100 off, so that's why I factored in the 100 for the missing 100." So he said, "So I said 100 gold." So I got the money. Okay, so one more story. He had a brother who was a very chashev Yid, Rav Avigdor from Dukla. And whenever his brother would come, so he would always show him tremendous kavod. Big Talmid Chacham sat next to him. And on one occasion, he came to his brother. And he looked at him and he didn't say anything. Mama, she did, as if like he didn't know who he was. And this was on Erev Shabbos. And Friday night, he was so tzibrachim that he didn't get this treatment from his brother, that he didn't come to the tish Friday night, and he couldn't bring himself to do anything over Shabbos, basically. And then, but over the course of Shabbos, so the Tzanzarov was noticing that a lot of the chassidim of the Dukla Rav were there, and he said, "So, how's my brother? How's he doing?" He said, so they didn't know what to say. You know, he's really there, he just can't come. So son of saw something was up, so he pushed more, and he said, if we have to tell you, Rebbe will tell you. He says, he's here, but he didn't have the koyches, he came to you, and then so he said, so he's finally, he sees his brother, tell him to come right away. So he sees his brother, and he gives him a hug, and he says, how are you? So he says, I don't understand, I came to you yesterday, and... you didn't notice me even. Plus, you didn't know. He says, oh, you came yesterday. He says, is there anything different about your coming this time? He said, yeah. He says, this time I borrowed a strimal from one of my chaverim. When I got here, I forgot that I didn't have my strimal, so I borrowed a strimal from one of the chaver here. He says, oh, so that's why. You think that I'm going to recognize you without your strimal? So they said that the Tzanzarov, that he didn't look at people. He would look at their levushim and their begadim, and he didn't know who they are. So he said, how am I supposed to know who you are without your strimal? So I didn't know. Rav Lezer Jikover we spoke about Rav Lezer Jikover, the son of the Rav Shitzer. He was very makbid that for Shavuos, all of his chassidim should come to him. He had a chassid who couldn't make it to him for Shavuos, and he had to stay home. And he had a friend who was a tzanzer chassid, and he asked if he could borrow his strimal to go to Tzanz. So he said, sure. So he gave him his strimal. He said, I'm not going to my Rebbe, the Beis Jigaber, so you could take it to Tzanz. So comes back from Tzanz, returns the strimal. So the next Yontif, he goes to his Rebbe. So he goes to the Rebbe of Blazer Jacobin, and he says to him, so why were you in Sanz for Yontif? So he says, I wasn't in Sanz for Yontif. He says, but I smell from your strimal that you were in Sanz. So he says, no, Rebbe, it wasn't me. It was a friend, and I gave him my strimal, but that's why. So the Rebbe from Nasvid, who was a very big tzaddik, he says, you think that the pell of the Maisa is that Rebbe Lezer Jacob was able to smell on the strimal that he was in Sanz. But I say the pell of the Maisa is that there was so much Kedusha in Sanz that even the strimal of the Yid smelled like Sanz.
Wow.
That's what he said.
It's good.
There's much more to say, Rebbe Yisrael, much more. That's it for now.